Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Here's some Worf's news, though. Apparently, he's going to be out for the start of the season after having knee surgery.
What a massive piece of news. What an underrated, massive piece of news that... Guys, this is not like, oh, they're going to be missing their starting offensive line. Like, Tristan Wirfs is on a, like, Hall of Fame trajectory in terms of the way he plays the left tackle position for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'm talking about, like, you know, in the likes of, like, Trent Williams. Trent Williams, obviously an incredible left tackle out in San Francisco for years. Tristan Wirfs is the best pass-blocking left tackle in the NFL right now. So this is not just a matter of, like, well, they're missing a starter. No, they're missing the best starting left tackle in the NFL right now.
And he's probably the only starting left tackle that can be standing in a pool and jump out of the water and onto the what do you call the pool concrete?
I don't know, the deck, the sidewalk. Deck.
Yeah, the edge of the pool. Have you ever seen this guy? Google it.
Dude.
He can literally, he's standing straight up and like, well, I guess what, it's the shallow end, I guess.
Yeah, 4 foot. Probably.
But his knees are underwater and he jumps out of the pool onto the concrete where you walk around the pool.
That's insane.
He is as athletically gifted as you'll find a offensive lineman in the NFL. I do not like to just take joy in the injury of someone because it sucks for him and it's not fair, and I hate injuries for anyone, but whew. I mean, we're going to see him in December, but at least we don't got to see him in September.
Well, here's my question about that, because this is saying he'll be out at least the first four games, but knee surgery, I mean, how many games would that really be?
It just all depends. I mean, that's one of those things that you don't ever know. They're all so different. It's not like trajectory of an Achilles or an ACL or a Tommy John. Like, when you talk about a knee and getting it scoped or cleaned out, there's just so many different variables, how it responds. What the swelling's like, if they had to remove anything, like everything that goes into that. It's just, look, I don't know how good he'll be throughout the second half of the year. I'm guessing that's kind of what we're talking about right here. But the fact that you got Tampa in week one was a head scratcher for me from the beginning. But man, when I saw this news yesterday, I was like, that is just a massive thing.
And look, we don't know what it is. I mean, was it just scar tissue?
Right.
Clean up. I think that's, he's going to start in the pup, so they expected to miss 4 weeks. You know, if it was something, maybe some, if it was even a meniscus, a slight meniscus tear or something, that some people, that can be like 6 months recovery. When did he have it? I don't recall. It says it was on Tuesday, but was it on Tuesday or is that when they told us that he had it? See, like, I don't know. There's all kinds of things, but if they thought he was going to be out for the season, I think they'd have put, well, I guess they still would have done the pup list. That makes sense because it doesn't count against them. So you don't know, but I know that he won't be in September. That's all we know. And for the Falcons, that's a good thing because now they have young pass rushers and Leonard Floyd and Arnold Ebiketie going against backup. But that's not been an issue for teams against us in the past. So hopefully this is going to be the first thing where it's like, dude, don't let Baker Mayfield throw all over you and only get him on the ground. And when I mean on the ground, just quarterback hits like 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to take advantage of this. I mean, hell, just put everybody on the left side. I don't care. Don't put anybody over there. Just put everybody on the left side.
Well, I don't think anyone can blame you if you did not stay up for the Braves game last night. After the first outing, we were all feeling a little way yesterday about the Braves. But today, much different game to talk about. They won last night against the A's 9-2. Drake Baldwin went 2-for-5 and helped Atlanta get off to a big start with a 3-run home run. Acuna hit a pair of solo home runs. Austin Riley, Ozuna, they both got home runs. And Bryce Elder only allowed 2 runs on 8 hits over 6 innings.
Yeah, he was really good last night. He was getting a lot of swing and misses. I want to say it's 15 on the sinker. He's been so good at, and honestly, this park kind of plays into what he is. This place has turned into the launching pad. I think it's kind of – it's been vice versa for he and Spencer Strider all year. He's more of a ground ball pitcher when he is good, and Spencer Strider gives up the fly balls. That's why the home runs have been flying out a lot this year with Spencer Strider. So hopefully he can get right tonight in terms of the fly balls. But, yeah, Bryce Elder was good last night. This was the best version of Bryce Elder. I also think the A's just could not figure him out for whatever reason. Usually his sinker, splitter, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it, usually that's a contact pitch, and they were just swinging and missing on it last night, which you don't usually see. So I don't know what the future is for Bryce Elder. I think this game is kind of a one-off in terms of, you know, whatever you can expect from him, but it was nice to see him kind of reinvigorate for one night.
Yeah, he's not as bad as the version we saw that Friday night against the Phillies. But I don't know if he's expected to be near as good as he was against the Giants with like the 12 or 13 strikeout game. I think you nailed it. This is the best version. This is what if you think what you want the average start from Bryce Elder to be, it's six innings, couple earned runs, going to give up 5 to 7, 8 hits, and strike out 5 to 7 batters. Like, that is absolutely, if you said, just tell me what you, if I could give you a couple options, that would be the one I took every time, because that's what a fifth starter, that's the best version of any fifth starter in baseball. Right now, it just so happens to be like your third starter.
I also think it's just crazy because yesterday, you know, we were talking about Ronald Acuna, and you asked, "What are the?" You know, I think it was which one are they more likely to win the series or Ronald Acuna win the Homer Derby? I didn't think either one were going to happen, and then Ronald Acuna just laughing in my face goes and hits two dingers last night, and I'm like, "Where did the back soreness go?
Right.
Maybe he is going to be in the Home Run Derby. I don't know, or maybe, you know, sitting out with the back thing was just like Bo brought up earlier. Maybe it was just a." You know, a trick to get a day off and maybe get him out of the home run derby. I don't know. But, man, that was it was nice to see him get back to hitting with power last night.
Yeah, so if I asked that question today, which is more likely, would you say both or what would it be? Because we have Strider on the mound
tonight.
I would
still go with the series only because you never know with these derbies. Anything can happen. The way it's set up now, you have to just completely perform every time. The guy throwing you the ball could be off.
Yeah.
And I just trust Spencer Strider going on the mound against an Athletics team. And this club may be feeling themselves and knowing that they should win this series. I trust that a little bit more than the unknown of other guys. And you still don't even know who all the guys are competing against Acuna.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that those derbies are a little bit more of a farce than a baseball game with a stud pitcher going.
I agree with you. I am a little bit worried about Spencer Strider tonight, though, because this – like I said, this park out there, and I don't even know. Are we calling them Sacramento A's? Like, is that what we're doing, or the California A's? Or
they're the Oakland A's until they officially have a new home.
All right.
But I
just think that park, balls are just flying out of that park right now. And when I look at Spencer Strider and the way he throws, he's been prone to giving up home runs when he's not good. And if we don't see the best version where he's keeping the ball down in the zone and actually painting the black, then I think the ball could start flying out on him tonight. So hopefully he's able to get that in order. But, yeah, I mean, I think just from if you just looked at any series, it's tied 1-1, and you look at how hard it is to actually win a home run derby, I would have to go with the series at this point for sure.
Do you think he lets it fly tonight knowing he won't make a start for a week?
I hope not. What's the upside?
Just see what you got.
No, I don't need to see what he's got, dude. I like this guy coming off elbow surgery when every other starter on your team is out with injury. No, I'm good, man. Like, I just want him to go. As a matter of fact, I don't care if he gets shelled. Like, I don't even care if he gets shelled.
Welcome
just
to being the ace.
Go out and throw 94 tonight. You're good.
Then Grant Holmes would be like, I'm the ace of the staff of the Atlanta Braves.
I don't need to see him empty the tank. Like, I'm solid on that. I think we know what Spencer Strider's capable of when he's great. And if he's, you know, look, if he's locating the ball tonight and doing all those things, I think that'd be awesome.
He just can't get frustrated with himself because then you see it on his face. It gets so emotional.
Yeah.
Then it really would be like a Kenny Powers moment for Grant Holmes. It would be like that in Eastbound and Down. He's like, he says the Will Ferrell character says something that's like not necessarily a compliment. He's like, I'm gonna take that as a compliment. Oh well. You shouldn't, but I am. That's what Grant Holmes be like. I'm going to take it as a compliment.
All right, man. Let's talk about some more pressure pack situations.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
And just a reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. A couple of situations have popped up recently on the show that have reminded me about just pressure-packed moments for the guys out there. All right, and look, this is not, it doesn't have to just be a guy thing with some of these things, but I know that for me, as the man of the house, that like there are pressure-packed moments. I talked about it earlier coming off the weekend. I suddenly was thrown into a situation where I was grilling and eight people were going to be eating. I didn't know this was going to happen when I fired up the grill. And suddenly my wife is looking at me like, when are the ribs going to be done? And I'm like, dude, there's a lot of pressure to deliver for a group of eight hungry people on a sunny Saturday with water slides going to be able to pull those ribs off the grill and for them to actually be tender. Dylan also brought up the whole bug thing about how he gets irritated. Like, there's a lot of pressure when the wife's like, hey, come kill this bug. There's a roach in here. It's like, all right, man, this is my time to shine. I have to step up to the plate. If I am all of a sudden, if I can't capture this thing, if it runs away from me and you know, tucks under a baseboard, wife's going to be a little bit let down. So I started going down this list, and I do have one coming up that I want to talk about this weekend, but here's a couple of other ones that I came up with. I don't know how often any of y'all have ever done this. Have you ever had to back a trailer? Have you any of y'all ever had to back a trailer?
Oh, yeah.
There is nothing more pressure-packed for a guy than having to back the trailer. I don't know if it's a parking spot or a boat ramp or
That's whatever else you got going on. Right there.
Like
the boat ramp.
Dude, everybody's looking at you.
Dude.
They're like, hurry up, dude. Get the boat in the water. And you're like, left, right, left, right, left, right. Oh, my God.
Allie, the worst trailers in the world are the landscape trailers and the boat trailers with no boat on them.
Oh,
because
dude.
They turn on a dime.
Oh.
And, you can be going what you think is straight, and it'll be turning on you. And when you get a busy day in the summer at a boat ramp, and maybe a boat ramp that's got one ramp out of service, and there's only three to begin with, now you're down to two, and everybody's waiting to get their boat out or put their boat in. Oh man, that is when you get puckered.
Pressure packed situation.
There's a puckering coming on.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So I've got grilling for groups, right, and squashing bugs back in the trailer. One more before I get to what I'll be doing on Saturday: changing a flat tire. Like anything with the car, but like when a tire goes flat, it's like everybody's looking at you, man. Like don't wait for anybody else to move, buddy. Like this is on you. You better know where the spare is located, where the tire iron's located, how to get the lug nuts off, everything. Like you are in the crosshairs. Like this is your moment. It's time to rise up.
And there's a system to it. Every man should know how to change a tire.
Now, I agree.
I don't change. If my truck gets a flat when I leave here, I'm calling AAA. You know why? Because I don't carry a jack in my truck that can raise my truck off the ground.
Really? Your jack doesn't get high enough.
The one that they give you doesn't, because I've got 22s on there. So
there was a pause in there a little bit.
Yeah,
Dylan,
something in there.
You can change it. You know how to change a tire.
Correct.
Okay.
And have before on the side of the road.
And it's tough. I've done it too. Not fun.
Nope.
Not fun at all. It's a big moment. It's a big moment in a man's life or a woman's life if you're out there changing tires as well. That leads me to what I'm going to be doing on Saturday.
Okay.
It's a game of Tetris. All right. I will be packing the car, the roof rack, for a week trip with my kids to go to the beach. I have a 4-year-old son, a 3-year-old daughter, a wife who loves to overpack, and we'll be staying at the beach for 7 days. All right, there is no moment like a Super Bowl for a man when he is packing the car for a 7-day trip to the beach. I'm talking about just chairs and fans and at least I don't have to bring the pack and play like I used to when I had a baby, but
the beach cart.
Dude, the beach cart. I'll be bringing, Beersby or whatever you call the beach game, like bringing like kiddie swimming pools probably for the back deck. Like this is it.
Yeah.
The sunscreen bags, the flip flops, the floaties. I have to find a way to get all this stuff in the roof luggage rack. And I'm just telling you right now, I've already mapped it out in my head. Well, like I have a diagram written out where I'm like, all right, the chair's got to go up front. They're the flat ones. On top of that will be this. I'm going to pack this bag in the back, maybe a floor fan for the living room on this one. Like, it's freaking go time in the Johnson
house.
It's
very similar to packing a U-Haul.
Yeah.
Very similar. Now, I'm not a roof rack guy, but I have a truck.
And, sure.
And you have a, you do too, but you're taking the wife's SUV.
Yeah, yeah. She's got the rear screen so they can watch movies. Yeah, I got to take
smart,
that.
Smart, smart.
I am, when we travel a lot of times because of the suit, if we're driving to where we're going with suitcase, two garbage bags over a suitcase, throw it in the back.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, wow. I mean, you know, that's, look. I ain't messing with that stuff in the cab.
Like my kids are gonna get their own bag for their toys. Like pack what toys you want to. It goes in this 12x24 suitcase. Okay, I only got a certain amount of room for your dinosaurs. Pack them in there. Yeah, T Rex can come too. Throw him in there too. Yeah, it's big day on Saturday.
This is why we were playing Tetris when we were little. It's for that moment.
It was all building up to this.
Well, coming up, you've got the wake-up call. Jump on the show with us 404-726-0929. What is your pressure-packed moment? Are you packing the truck like Mike is for a family vacation? Killing bugs, grills, trying to make sure the food is ready on time. I know my husband felt that one. back the trailer on the boat ramp. What is your pressure-packed moment where you're just thinking, oh my gosh, everyone's looking at me? And what quarterbacks are you worried about this season with the Falcons? 404-726-0929. That is next. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.